Foundation for everything is the Word of God, our subject for this week and throughout the week. The inspiration of the Bible is a very key doctrine that we need to just continue to let go deep within our souls. A well-known social critic was in a debate with an atheist, and this was a man from Oxford, and he raised this very insightful, thorny question. If you, professor, were stranded at the midnight hour in a desolate Los Angeles street, and if, as you stepped out of your car with fear and trembling, you were suddenly to hear the weight of pounding footsteps behind you and you saw 10 burly young men who had just stepped out of a dwelling coming toward you, would it or would it not make a difference to you to know they had just been at a Bible study? Very insightful question. The Word of God does make a difference. Word of God is the absolute authoritative revelation from God. Over 100 years ago, William Ramsay, a young English scholar, went to Asia Minor with the express purpose of disproving the history given by Luke in his gospel and in the book of Acts. His professors said confidently that Luke could not be right. So he spent quite a bit of time digging in the ancient ruins of Greece and Asia Minor, Turkey, testing for ancient term boundaries and other items which would be a dead giveaway if a writer had been inventing this history at a later time than claimed. To his amazement, he found that the New Testament scriptures were accurate to the tiniest detail. So convincing was the evidence that Ramsay himself became a Christian and a great biblical scholar. The Word of God is glorious. As noted Dr. Kinneman, J.O. Kinneman says, of the hundreds and thousands of artifacts found by the archaeologists, not one has ever been discovered that contradicts or denies one word, phrase, clause, or sentence of the Bible, but always confirms and verifies the facts of the biblical record. And that is still true today. I take secular magazine, one in particular that is archaeological in its nature, and the Bible is continually undergirded by facts. But you know, you can believe that the Bible is factually correct, and we'll be looking at that. You can hold to that. But you know, for a lot of believers, in many ways, it's just a theory and a set of beliefs. Oh, they would stand by it, but in their personal life, it's more theory than reality. Prior to salvation, many people would say, I believe the Bible. Still, a pretty decent percentage of people in our country will say they believe the Bible, but those very people have never been saved because they have not acted in faith, putting their trust in the Word of God regarding how they should come to know the Lord as their Savior. When they do, then the Bible becomes real to them. But many believers, after they have been saved, still live with the Bible as that which they embrace, they're thankful for, they would defend its inspiration, but it isn't a living reality that is transforming their lives because they are not taking steps of faith according to it like they should. For many, the Bible is like the Queen of England. She holds the top position, but she doesn't have any power. And for many, many believers, this is the Bible. I believe it. The issue is, do we trust it? Do we act upon it? Are we living by faith? That's the big question. You see, we live lives based on all kinds of faith. We go to a doctor, then we don't know who he is. We don't really know anything about the degrees that he has. We don't know anything much about experience, maybe what we see on a website. And yet he will diagnose something and give us very strong medicine. And we go home, and then not even knowing the pharmacist that made the medicine and not knowing exactly what's in that, we take the medicine. That's a lot of faith, folks. That's a lot of trust. Well, the Word of God is exactly what we need for every part of our life. We need to have a greater faith in the Word of God than we do in these other types of things. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it's very important that the Word of God is central to our lives. Dwight L. Moody once gave a testimony. He said, if all the time that I had spent praying for faith was put together, it'd probably be months. I thought that someday faith was going to come down and strike me like lightning, but faith did not come. One day I read in the 10th of Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to read God's Word, and faith has been growing ever since. In other words, faith is the act to choose to believe, to trust in the Word of God, which immediately through the power of God causes you to take steps of obedience that will supernaturally transform your life. The Word of God is why you're saved. You're going to heaven. The Word of God is why you have what you have that's good in your life. And the Word of God needs to be far more precious to us. So let's take these few minutes now and look at four things about the Word of God that are key. First of all, the method of inspiration. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this will be our text, the well-known text, which forms the text for the week of the Bible study there for us and for our families. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's a divine work. It is, as this verse says, it is God-breathed. That term, inspiration of God, is one term in the Greek. And this is very interesting. It's only used one time in the New Testament and never in secular Greek. As one commentator says, it would seem that God fashioned the Word for the special purpose of informing us accurately how he transmitted his word into the language of men. God breathed. What you have there on your lap, if you have your Bible today, is actually the Word of God from his very heart. It is a product of God's very breath, so to speak. And it reminds you of the creative breath of God as he as it speaks of the creation of the universe. He spoke the worlds into being out of nothing, as Hebrews chapter 11 says. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, folks, if the universe, with all of its power and glory, could be just formed by the breath of God, it ought not be hard to believe that he could give us his word. It's an amazing thing. It's very important to understand that this very book was that which Jesus himself stood upon when he had a direct confrontation with Satan. He was quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3, and it says that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So what did Jesus say about, he trusted in the Old Testament scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and he quoted that which has that in it. By the mouth of God, the word of God came. He trusted in it, obviously being God. Now, God breathed through human instruments. Jeremiah 1:9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. This is Jeremiah talking. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, folks, the reason the Word of God is so precious to us is that it is the accurate Word of God, but it was given in this glorious, masterful miracle by God through human beings to which we can relate. and the very circumstances of the authors, the situations that they were in the context of writing the scripture, all of that is given, puts us immediately into the middle of it and enables us to have a full, deep breadth and depth of understanding of the Word of God. It is an amazing thing. And so he used human instruments. God miraculously allowed man to keep his personality while perfectly superintending the revelation. Now, could God have just come down and written it all? Could he not just have spoken the Bible into being? Absolutely. But the greater miracle is that he used the different men at the key times throughout Bible history to give us that which we could understand. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See again, the moving, the breathing of God through the holy men, set apart men of God. And it didn't come through their will, it came through God's will, but God used those human instruments. The word move there in 2 Peter 1:21 literally means taken up, borne along, as a passenger is taken up aboard ship by the Holy Spirit. But as the passenger has the freedom to move around in the ship, so the sacred writers had the free exercise of their individual powers and characteristics and yet came to the exact destination that God wanted them to come. Isn't that amazing? Moses wrote differently than Paul. You have Moses on the Mount. Yes, he has the Ten Commandments that were written by the finger of God, but everything else, you have God giving him the law, but you have God then having him explain everything. So God gave him the words and yet used Moses very clearly. Same thing with the Apostle Paul. So God put his thoughts into the Bible writers and supernaturally superintended their choice of words. Holding your place here, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Very important passage that I'm only going to touch on here, but I want you to think about it this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We begin in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The Word of God did not come through the scientific method of the senses being able to figure it out. Did you get that? That verse makes it very clear. It's not the examination of man that gave us the truth, though everything in the Word of God is scientifically accurate. But it didn't come through our senses. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God revealed what is on His heart that only He knows. In other words, just like I don't know exactly what you're thinking, you have to tell me what you're thinking. Certainly, finite man cannot understand the mind of an infinite God. It's only through God's willingness to tell us what He's thinking that we can know it. And just think He has. That entire book is the heart of God. He meticulously worked throughout history to give us this living book. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now notice this, comparing spiritual things, the revelation of God's thoughts, with spiritual. And if you go back in the parallelism of this verse, spiritual words. God has taken what He knows and has put it supernaturally into words for us. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Let's go now to the extent of inspiration. The extent of inspiration. Seen the method, and now I want to just give you some definitions quickly here today. You might want to note these. This is in Stuart Custer's little book about Scripture. This passage says all Scripture. And so if we're going to believe the Bible's the Word of God, number one, we got to believe in the revelation. Revelation is the direct communication by God of previously unknown truth. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 just taught us. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. God has given to us directly that which we could not have known. Is the direct communication by God of previously unknown truth. The word inspiration that we just talked about, a supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit on the biblical writers so that their writings are divinely trustworthy and authoritative. A supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit on the biblical writers, God's working in their lives so that their writings are divinely trustworthy and authoritative. Then you put the word verbal before inspiration. Verbal inspiration means that the very words of Scripture are divinely inspired and authoritative. Every word in the original is divinely inspired of God, down to the jot and tittle of the Hebrew language. Plenary inspiration is another word. That means full inspiration. Every part and every coordinated part of the Scripture is completely inspired. And then a very important word is the word inerrancy. That characteristic of Scripture which renders it without mistake and therefore infallible, not just in religious matters, now this is important, but also in matters of historic and scientific fact. I quickly quoted to you at the beginning of the message about some of the perspectives from archaeology and science. The Bible, they tried to attack it in the mid-1800s, and it has stood the test of time to 2018. It just cannot be undermined. It's a wonderful thing. So every part is inspired. That leads us to the first sub-point here. Spurgeon said, whatever is in Scripture, we accept as infallible truth. I already alluded to this verse, Matthew 5:18. The Lord Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, the two smallest aspects of the Hebrew alphabet, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So every part is inspired. And by the way, we've got to be very careful to minimize any part of Scripture. All Scripture is important. You know, we bring out the reading plan every January, our tradition here. That's not just some nice little thing we do. That's a tradition. I really do, as pastor, want to encourage you. Read from Genesis to Revelation every year. You need to know Joel. You need to know Leviticus. You need to know Jude. You need to know places where you wouldn't normally go, and God the Spirit will take the Word of God and enrich you with it. And we must take the Word of God literally in its plain normal sense and in context. And there's much that can be said. Learn how to interpret Scripture properly. Every part is inspired. And then no part should be contextualized. What we mean by that is shaped to the culture at the time. And so what you have had, people that say they believe the Bible say, well, because it's part of the culture back in the Old Testament period or in the first century AD, that anything that's part of that culture you can just throw out. Not when it's direct principles, commands, and teachings of the Word of God. I remember when I first got in the ministry, very first year, Moody Bible Institute was somewhat of a venerable institution in our area there. I was working with my father, and a book came out on the role of women, and it said that most of the teaching in the New Testament about women was not something that needed to be followed because it was based upon the culture of the Jews and of the Greeks of that day. Well, that caused quite an uproar. My dad, who usually didn't get involved in that stuff, got involved in it, and other pastors, and the man rightly was removed from teaching there. But that's the kind of thing that we've had to live with. Now, obviously, we look at the context of the day. You understand the culture. But my friends, when God says directly yes and no about certain things, it means it. And so we've got to be very careful about contextualizing this. And note 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time to the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Husbands, for instance, in Ephesians 5, are still to lead and love their wives as Christ loved the church. And wives are to submit and reverence their husbands as the church does to Christ. Say, I don't like that in 2018 culture. Well, it doesn't make any difference. That's the Word of God. See, that's where the Word of God just cuts right through. Men need to be lovers and leaders. We need to preach on that. Ladies, you need to be for your husband and support them. These are principles that are timeless. This is how God made male and female. And folks, we allow the humanistic culture to cause us to minimize the Word of God, and we cannot do it. In fact, folks, if there's something we don't like in the Bible, we start rationalizing. We minimize it. I'm telling you, the minute you start doing that, you've lost your best friend. The Word of God has every answer you need. Let it speak to you. Don't try to manipulate it to make it be what you want it to be. You have no authority, no foundation. By the way, that's the beginning of what we call theological liberalism, where man's thinking is injected into biblical revelation. So it's very important that we understand the extent of inspiration. Number three, the purposes of inspiration. Very clearly laid out here in 2 Timothy 4:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And here's right what I was talking about: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Profitable for doctrine. Daniel Webster has been said to be, he lived from 1782 to 1852, one of the three most important men in shaping America as we know it. He was a jurist, secretary of state, senator, and so forth. And he says this about the Bible. From the time that at my mother's feet or on my father's knee, I first learned to list verses from the sacred writings, they have been my daily study and vigilant contemplation. If there be anything in my style or thoughts to be commended, the credit is due to my kind parents in instilling into me, to my mind, an early love of the Scriptures. And the Scripture, when deeply put within a heart, brings a person to the place, if they'll yield to the Holy Spirit, where God can work through that person, and the impact that they can have is divine. So as we've already said, every part is important. Every word is from the Lord. And we need to know all truth. Could you explain the key doctrines of the Word of God? Could you give a defense of your salvation? These are very important questions because it's the truth. It's not my idea. It's not your idea. It's thus saith the Lord. And just like when Satan confronted Jesus, he had to flee because of Christ's stand upon the Word of God, so with us, we will have great spiritual victory. Now, I don't care how smart you are, you can never know truth without the Word of God. Now, you can observe things in the nature, and you know the universe does reveal the reality of God. But to know specific truth, it cannot come without God's revelation and then the illumination of the Spirit of God. And so the basis of all faith, and I want you to get this, is the Word of God. I've already quoted several times, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The whole idea here is it's not a feeling. Faith is not some kind of I trust God. That's good. Faith is when you understand specific truths in the Word of God, you realize that's God, that's what God wants me to believe and to trust in, and so you not only know it, but you make a decision by faith to trust it and act upon it by the power of God. That's faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, all of these men that God can holds high and esteems is because of their trust in the Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Lord Jesus said in His high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. That's how God changes us. And folks, we need to wake up to the fact that our lives count. Every one of us God wants to use mightily. We are in a spiritual battle. And the Word of God is the key for us to know how to live and how to make an impact. A U.S. Army officer told of the contrast in his classes that he was teaching at Fort Sill in Oklahoma in 1958 to 1960. He was teaching in artillery training school. The attitude was so lax that the instructors had a problem trying to keep the men awake. But during 1965 to 67, the classes were different. They were hearing the same basic lectures, but they were, every one of them, alert and taking copious notes. What was the difference? In 6 weeks, they'd be in Vietnam. Total different perspective. Folks, if we would wake up and understand what our life is all about, who we are in Christ, what the battle is, and what could occur if we would allow God to use our lives, that we couldn't get enough of this book. Listen, everything you need to meet the need of your heart, to give you direction in your life, to give you direction in your marriage and family, everything about how to approach the things, the situations that we're facing, everything is there, and much more. I mean, you can never plumb the depths of the treasure of the Word of God. It is an important key. It's not only profitable for doctrine, but for reproof, for convicting us of what is false. Remember, the Spirit of God would come and convince us. Convicting a sinner that he needs the Savior. Convicting a Christian that he's living a soulish life. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will show us that's carnal, fleshly living. That's spiritual living. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. God will direct. We would not, as Romans 7 says, we would not know sin were it not for the law. Did you know that your nervous system and all of the different nerves that you have in your hands and feet and side that really hurt when you get hit? You know, stubbing a toe can really be a big deal. You know, I've seen very, very dignified people be very undignified when they stub their toe, you know. But you know, it's really sad when you see different conditions of people. You'll see people that walk like this, and it's not because they have palsy or something. They don't have the neurological system to know pain. And so they do things with their arms. They don't know when they're hurting themselves. They have all kinds of sores. Listen, one of your best friends is the fact that you can feel pain. I know you don't think about it at the time. I don't want that. But it protects us. And so the Word of God is the tool of the Holy Spirit to give us an accurate conscience. So, no, that'll hurt. We need to be awakened to our need. It is profitable for correction. I love this. It has the idea of being restored. Restoration to an upright position or a right state. You know, it's really a sad situation when the jaws of life have to be brought in to cut a person out of a car. But you know, a lot of people have lived a good life after the jaws of life have taken them out because they were rescued. They couldn't have gotten out any other way. Folks, when we get caught in self and the trap of habits and addictions and problems and wrong thinking in our lives, this is the jaws of life. It can take that awful that which is trapping you and tear it from you. Once you accept it by faith, and the Spirit of God will work. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119:9, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, the grace of God can do what needs to be done. We quote so often from 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. He will change us. And then it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's the same word that we often talk about for other aspects of the Christian life, and that is child training. It has the idea of all that goes into causing a child to be developed through discipline, teaching, all of those things, so they can be the kind of person they ought to be. So the Word of God is the way God develops our personal life so that we can live a life that really will be free from that which will hurt us, free from that which will limit us, and be a life that will really count for God. That's what that means. Psalm 119, 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Well, finally, the goal of inspiration, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This goes right along with the restoration aspect. When we act in faith, and this is more than just our book, but this is life, God will perfect us. Colossians 1:28, Paul talks about using the word. He says, whom we preach, speaking of what he knew, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, mature, complete in Christ Jesus. Listen, there's not a Christian in this room that cannot be complete in Christ if you allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and change you. And if you're willing to walk by faith, but you can't know how to walk by faith if you don't know it. You've got to know the Word. It has the idea of putting us into the right kind of shape so that we can be able to function, like getting a ship into shape for a long ocean voyage. And then it will thoroughly equip us. God gives the leadership gifts for the perfecting, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Folks, our Christian life is not about us having a good time. Our Christian life is about us showing forth Christ and meeting the needs of other people. And the Word of God will give you everything you need to know to minister. Did you know that you can be a Bible teacher, no matter whether you're an official one or not? Did you know that you can counsel? Did you know that you can have every facet that you would expect a pastor to have in his arsenal of things to help people? You can have that yourself. There are many, many quote-unquote laymen who are absolutely powerful and strategic in the cause of Christ because they are thorough, faith-filled, obedient students of the Word of God. Folks, that's what it says. Foundational. How much time are you spending in the Word? How much time are you listening to the preaching of the Word? How important is this? And how much do you allow it to change you with those I will statements and other aspects of God showing you? God is able to do great things today, but all Scripture given by inspiration must be allowed to perfect us. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here today, starting into a new season of the year as we cross the Memorial Day holiday, I'd like to challenge you, as we're challenging you in this series here, to truly make the Word of God important to your life this summer. Important in your personal daily life, in your family with Family Altar, to be under the preaching and teaching of God's Word as much as is possible, and then to proclaim it to people who desperately need it. All these are basic things, but they're key. Let me just ask you here this morning, how much are you seeing your life changed day by day by seeing what the Word of God says, believing it, and then seeing God deliver you? You ought to be able to almost diary back day by day the past week, the week before, the week before that, the week before that. You ought to be able to say, God is continuing to deliver me. That's what salvation is. It's deliverance. That's from sin, death, and hell. But the Christian life is a constant deliverance from self and sin in our life so that we can be what God wants us to be. And this book is just powerful. It cuts right to the core. It gives us what we need. It comforts us. It encourages us. It brings spiritual things into reality if we will open our heart and believe it by faith. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I did trust the Lord by faith. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But I have to admit, I so often treat it just as the Bible instead of the dynamic sword that it really is. And I need to be far more committed to letting this book change my life and to walk by faith. And God specifically, in this overview here this morning, touched my heart about this. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, if you just slip your hand up and ask for prayer, just being definitive that you want to move ahead in your whole approach to the Word of God. God bless you. Amen. If you're here today, you have not taken that first step of faith, and that's salvation. My friend, the Bible says that we are all to repent. We are all to understand that we cannot get to heaven on our own. And that God calls us all to trust in Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Eternal life has already been purchased for you. God is ready to do a mighty work in your life if you will trust Him. Do you know for sure if you'd die, you'd be in heaven? God may have brought you here this morning because He loves you. And He wants you to simply take a step of faith to believe what the Word of God says about the finished work of Christ. You say, Pastor, I don't know for sure. And along with these others that raise their hand, I want to ask you to pray for me, and I want God to know that I'm burdened about my soul. I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I would appreciate your prayer for me. Anyone like that, just slip up your hand, and we'll pray for you along with these others. We won't point you out, but we do want to pray for you here this morning. Anyone at all. How important this is. Now, Lord, would you work in our hearts as we've looked at the Word, the inspiration of the Word of God here today. Lord, I pray that it will come more precious to us than ever, do a work in our hearts on this basic message. And Lord, all of these that raise the hand, would you give them the specific victory that you convicted them about today? We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.